This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we're doing some open lines right now where you guys weigh in with your thoughts and we discuss. You can join in anytime calling 888-5-KILLER. It's 888-554-5537. And 24/7, but any of the stories that we're following, love to hear your opinion and your thoughts. It's me and Stacey Cole with you on this one. Let's go to our first caller and hear some thoughts on one of these cases. Yeah.
Hey, Tony, this is Drew from Iowa. I just had a couple of things for you. First off, I'm a big fan of the podcast. My wife got me turned on to you, so I've been listening ever since. The thoughts I had were there was a call the other day you played on there about representing a client when the defense attorney knows they're guilty. And just a clarifying on that, it's not that a defense attorney has to report if they know their client is guilty. A defense attorney has to report if they know that a future crime is imminent, or they cannot assist in perjury. So if a defense attorney knows that their client is guilty, as long as that client doesn't go on the stand and perjure themselves, they can still represent them to make sure they receive the fair representation. So there's just some tweaks, you know, there's some things in the law that are a little different there. Second, I wanted to talk both about the Koberger and the Daybell cases. With Koberger, I love the thought that this guy was so amateur and made so many mistakes that we're going to get him. But I have to wonder, devil's advocate, in the back of my mind, is he trying to play it to the effect that he wanted to be caught so he could have his day in court and be exonerated? Because the guy has said he looks forward to being exonerated. He hasn't said he's innocent. He said he wants to be exonerated. So Is he trying to commit this crime and plays the effect that he wanted to get caught so it was really known by the public that he did it, but find some way with his, you know, his education and expertise to get away with it in court? I mean, it's an interesting thought to me that this guy is maybe trying to game the system so that everybody knows he did it, but he still gets away with it anyway. And on the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell cases there, I'm finding it weird in Lori Vallow Daybell's representation that her attorneys have really released a lot of the state's witnesses without having any cross for them. I haven't seen that in a lot of the cases where there literally is no cross-examination. I mean, I feel like I've heard so many witnesses where they just said, we don't have any questions for this witness. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on that. Is this defense attorney, I mean, are they not trying to represent Lori because they know she's Looney Tunes? I don't know. I wanted to get thoughts on that. So anyway, thanks.
Interesting.
I would say quite honestly, I mean, some of the people that they have, I got no questions for, that they're just passing on the cross. I don't know what the cross really would benefit for Lori, should they try and do any sort of cross. So I think they are doing their job, and they're vigorously trying to defend their client. But I mean, they're doing it in the terms of reality, not in the terms of Lori Daybell's reality. And some of these people, they just simply, you know, there's no point in adding more to the fuel to the fire, I think, because I don't think it would benefit Lori. Thoughts?
In that, you know, that's a tough one. I wonder if maybe they're afraid to bring anything else up.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to stay quiet than to start speaking if speaking is going to cause issues, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my take on that. I was just looking up exoneration. So I advanced on to something different. I was totally listening, but I think sometimes it's better to say less than it is to dive into something else. So I think that's that could be a factor as to why they're passing, like no further questions.
Yeah. I don't think that there's really much more to that's going to be benefiting her. I'm going to be very interested, right? I mean, keep in mind, these witnesses are all for the prosecution right now.
Right.
So we're not into the area of defense. It's going to be very interesting who they bring up and what their strategy is on defense, because I don't know what it is quite yet. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. I said the other day to a defense attorney, I said, you know, it feels like the prosecution is actually making a really good case for insanity here.
Tony, I was just going to ask about that. Do you think they're going to go for an insanity plea?
Well, the prosecution shouldn't be trying to make an insanity defense, because that's not their job. And there is no insanity defense in Idaho. So that's, I don't know. I mean, I could see them possibly going down that direction. It's a really tricky thing. I had another attorney on a couple days ago, Alexandra, and she's with Garagos and Garagos, and she was doing a little research on this and then texted me going, there is a way that they can do that sort of a defense, but you can't plead it. So can't be in the plea that this is an insanity defense, but it can be presented in such a way where that can be considered. You got to go back and listen to the interview. It's in the archive just a few episodes back, but she really spelled out exactly what she found there. So I don't know exactly where they're going to go with it, but I don't see any verdict here other than guilty from what we've seen thus far. It just goes so extreme. We got another caller. Go ahead.
Has Lori been evaluated for mental illness at this point?
Yes. She's been found not competent twice.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And that's what partially delayed her trial getting started. But then they found her competent enough to stand trial, and that's where we are at right now.
Interesting. I missed that part. Boy.
Let's get another caller on this.
Hi. Hi, this is Camila from Canada. I think Lori is really entitled. This is what happens when people are really beautiful and they are all like, she was a pageant and everything. So everybody was always doing whatever she wants them to do. So I think she's really, really entitled. Of course, she's crazy because of what she's been doing. But I don't think she's that crazy. I think she knows what she did. I really think she's not insane. Bye. Thank you.
I think she's batshit crazy, and I think she, I don't think she knows what she did, honestly. I think she may have the understanding that her children were killed, and that her husband was killed, and that Chad's wife was murdered, and that her brother died under really weird circumstances. But I don't think she looks at them as murder. I think she looks at it as she was killing zombies for God. And that's very different than I'm going to go murder my children. It doesn't make it any better. At the end of the day, these people are all dead. So what the reasoning one conjures up in their mind doesn't make a damn bit of difference. But if you're interested in looking at the psychology of it, I think she thinks she was killing zombies. I really do. I think she's still sitting there thinking that she knows better than everybody else. And these are just the ways of the world that she's in right now. And none of it matters, because at some point she's going to be in Rexburg, Idaho, again with Chad and part of the 144,000. And this is just another trial and tribulation that the world is throwing at her as she becomes this eternal being. Rexburg. I wonder if the water tower will still stand when the apocalypse happens in Rexburg. Whenever you see Rexburg, it's always like a flyover of the water tower.
Right? Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if she is having these delusions where she thinks she's killing zombies, if you put it into that context, she's not crazy. She was really doing what she thought she had to do. Now, exactly. In the construct of our society,
crazy.
People who think that way they are technically mentally ill, that they're seeing things that aren't there. So I guess I can see how she would think that she was doing the right thing. So, it's easy to say somebody's batshit crazy, but in that context, if you've ever known anybody who's been mentally ill, they aren't seeing things the way they should.
The crude way of saying it is batshit crazy. It is batshit crazy to think that way, but that's just how batshit it is, because they truly, truly believe. I don't think that they sat there and plotted out their future going, it'd be really much better if, the kids were out of the way, or if your husband or wife was gone. Like, in the back of their minds, this may have been, they knew what they wanted to be together and they thought they were this force. But I think they heard voices that they equated to being God, and God was the one who told them to do these things. And that's how it was justified in their mind. And they believed it, and they fed it back and forth to each other. I just don't think it was like they're sitting there plotting how they're going to kill these kids or the spouses in the way that typical murders would be done. I think it was very much, this is this vision, this is this message from God, I have to carry out his work, and that justifies it. And it also, it fuels them to do it as well, because they think they're doing this sort of mission from God.
Yeah. And we've heard of people in the name of, religion, God, doing certain things that our society deems not acceptable. But in that moment, those people truly believe that this is what they need to do. Well, and we need to also keep that perspective. We think it's horribly wrong, and our society says it's wrong. But if that's how these people are thinking, maybe we need to take a more gentle hand that, it's wrong and they need to be punished. But I don't think it's cruel, because these people are dead, but they thought they were doing the right thing.
It's not in terms of the bigger picture here in our world, in different societies, so many deaths and murders and wars are 100% in the name of their religion or their God. And they believe that their God is telling them to kill this group of people or that group of people. So it's really not that crazy that someone indoctrinated themselves into their own religion and then convinced themselves that they should kill these other people around them because they are, infidels or zombies or whatever the fuck you want to call somebody that should die because your version of religion says they should die. This happens, in terms of massive populations. Look at the Middle East. Look at other times in history where it's all about their religion, their God believes, and the belief system that they're indoctrinated into tells them that it's the right thing to rid the world of these other people. They're bad for whatever reason, and they shouldn't be alive. This is not that crazy of a story if you look at it from that sort of perspective. This happens every fucking day other countries. It's just so weird that it happened on this kind of micro scale of this husband and wife and their circle of friends, and they invented this religion, and somehow they convinced themselves within the confines of that to kill off these people. And who they were selecting to kill also was very bizarre, because they were people who were already within their circle. It wasn't as if they were, they joined another religion or something, and then, now because you're not part of this religion, we must kill you. They believed that they were infested with demons, or they became zombies and such. So,
great point.
Beliefs in this sort of shit, that people are becoming possessed and it's this and that. It's scary because you get people that start to do really crazy extreme things when it, touches on the nerves. And this was a very, there's just a perfect storm of insanity right here.
Yeah, it truly is.
So, thanks for those calls. If you want to weigh in on any of the cases we're covering, you can do so. Just give us a call, 888-5-KILLER. 888-554-5537.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates on the stories we're covering for you, and discussions, courtroom audio as well. We got it all. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading those podcasts. Get an ad-free experience through Apple Podcasts right now. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Stay with us.